Silly to serious, maybe. But in the Jewish tradition, there is a thing that they do. And it's based in Deuteronomy. And actually, it's based in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. You can look at that later. But they call it the Shema. Shema. Look at your neighbor and say, Shawat? Shema. Say that with me. It's a Hebrew word, and it means listen and obey. Listen and obey. And this is one of the most basic professions of faith that the Hebrew people do. And in fact, let me read just a little bit to you. Hear, O Israel, Shema. Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. We see that in the New Testament, don't we? This is called the Shema. It goes on to say that these words which I command you today, says you keep them in your heart, you teach them to your kids as you're sitting in your house, you talk about it as you're going to bed, you think about it, and it's your responsibility to keep the word of the Lord in the center of your heart. It's called the Shema. Now I want to read, because this ties into it too, Psalms chapter 1, and this is from the Amplified, so you may or may not, Dennis will be able to follow me because that's his Bible. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. That's what it means to be blessed. Did you know it? To be happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. Is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight, desire, are in the law of the Lord, and on his law, precepts, instructions, and teachings of God, he habitually meditates, ponders, and studies by day and by night. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth its fruit in season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. This ties in to both of these scriptures, the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, this gives instruction, and also Mark 4. Now, if we go to Mark 4, Jesus begins this teaching, and he begins with the word what? Listen. You know what that word? You know what the word he used? Now, I know the New Testament's written in Greek, but the word is Shema. Shema. After he ends his teaching, he makes this statement. He who has ears to hear, which is Shema. So he starts it with a Shema, he ends it with a Shema, and he's saying is, this is something significant, you need to listen to this, and you need to pay attention to it, and you need to obey it. In fact, if you look at this, and in the Jewish mind, it would give you insight on what it means or how do we love God with all of our heart. Your love for God is not an emotion. It's not just I just love God. That's not how we love God. See, Jesus said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. And then he goes on to say, and they're not grievous to you. So when he says, okay, Shema, he had their attention because they connected that with the Deuteronomy scripture. It's just like a Shema here and a Shema here, and here's the meat in the middle. It's kind of like a hamburger. They have this and this meat and with the buns on both sides. And he says, okay, listen, learn, and obey this. And it gives them insight into what it means to love God with all your heart. Last week we talked about the first kind of ground called the hard ground. Now you are capable of any of these, and you have probably been a hard ground, shallow ground, thorny ground, and good ground. And you may go back and forth between them in some areas of your life. that's very possible. You have the ability to harden your heart. In fact, this whole parable is teaching us is that God is not responsible for our spiritual growth. You are responsible for your own heart. You're the one that takes the stewardship of your heart. See, Proverbs says that out of the heart flow the issues of life. You determine what goes in. You determine what occupies your thought life. You determine what you will shema, what you will listen to and not listen to. What you choose determines what you become. Okay? And see, here's the revelation, one of the revelations of the fruit or the tree that's found in Psalms 1 is the fruit or the tree in actuality is us. You are to be like a tree. You are to be the tree. You're the one that's to bring forth fruit. You're the one that's to bring things forth to maturity. God sent His Word. It is designed to produce the kingdom of God in our hearts. But we are the ones that determine what it will do in us. You ever argue with God? I found myself, I hate to admit this, I hate to admit that I've got faults. People are supposed to think preachers are perfect. But we know, wives know better, don't they? No, we're not. And I was thinking about something the other day, and just in my heart. You know, God talks to you in your heart sometimes, and He'll put an impression, and He'll ask you a question. And I found myself, but you know, Lord, why do we argue with God? I mean, do you think you're going to win an argument with God when He says something into your heart, and you think, well, Lord, did you consider this? No, wait a minute. It's not like you're going to be talking to God and He thinks, oh, I didn't think of that. I forgot about that. No. When God says something to you, you need to shut up and listen. Why do we argue? Why do we try to argue with God? Because He's already won the argument. But Lord, no. Forget that. But quit hardening your heart by arguing with God when He tries to say something to you. When you hear a scripture that reaches out to you and challenges you in one area of your life, and you think, yeah, but, okay, quit hardening your heart, loosen up your heart, let the Word in there because it's wanting to produce something, but you keep it from producing because of the hardness of your heart. The second kind of ground, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to read a couple of scriptures. It's the same, just two different translations in Mark 4, 16 and 17. It says this. This is the New Century Version. Others are like the seed planted on rocky ground. Now, what is rocky ground? Rocky ground is ground that has good soil on the top, but it's only shallow. If you dig down into the rocky ground, underneath you find it hard. So it has the appearance of being good ground, but it's shallow. Sometimes we go to church, we have the appearance of being good ground, but if we really look into our lives, and you know, I'm not supposed to look into your life, and you're not supposed to look into my life. We're supposed to look into our own hearts. But sometimes we're just really shallow. We're just shallow. So that's kind of what rocky ground is. It's got elements of good soil there, but it's not deep enough to allow the Word to work. Can the Word overpower your heart? No. Because God gave you your will, and God won't overpower your will. You have to choose the things of God. You have to choose to make Jesus Lord. You have to choose to put the Word into your heart. Okay? So this says these are planted on the rocky soil. They hear the teaching and they quickly accept it with joy. They get excited when they hear the Word. Oh, I love the Word. I love the Word. I love the Word. Praise God. Did you hear that revelation? They're all excited. The Word's planted in their heart, and it says, but since they don't allow the teaching to go deep into their lives, they keep it only a short time, and then when trouble or persecution comes because of the teaching they accepted, they quickly give up. They're okay as long as things going good. But when something is challenged, guess what? The King James says they are offended. Offended. Look at your neighbor and say, offended. That's a big word. Let me ask you a question. How easy are you to offend? You don't see where your heart's at? Are you easily offended? Do people offend you? Do events offend you? Are things in life offend you? Do you get offended at God? If you are easily offended, guess what? This is your heart. You're shallow. Give me a holy grunt or something. There's a lot of shallow Christians because they get offended when things don't go their way. They hear this and they're all excited about it, and they tried that for 2 weeks and it didn't work out, and all of a sudden they're upset. They're offended, they're mad, I'm quitting, I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. And it's because they're shallow. Now let me read it to you in the Message, because this gives some more insight into it. And some are like the seed that lands in the gravel. When they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arises, there is nothing to show for it. One of the earmarks of people like this is they get excited real easily and they cool off. You start something and people are all pumped up about, yeah, I want to be involved with that. I'm going to help with that. I'm going to do with this. And then the newness of it wears off and they just kind of go away. That's shallowness. It's called shallowness of character. Everybody say character. Because that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about character. Character. Because that's what this heart is all about. See, you can harden your heart and the Word won't produce it all, or you cannot allow the Word to do the work in your heart that it wants to. You'll let it go so deep. See, we like the blessing, we like the promises, we like the good things, but when it starts touching on sensitive areas of our life that we kind of like, or attitudes that we try to defend, we get offended. And if we get offended, that's where the Word, that's as deep as it can go, and eventually we'll reject it because in all honesty, our hearts are still hard. And you're the only one that can soften your heart. And the Word is the only thing that can change your character. But you got to let the Word do the work. I'm amazed, Robin talking about Celebrate Recovery. People really excited about step studies. And they get in there and they step one, step two, step three, and oh yeah, we realize that we get to step four where you do the fearless searching moral inventory of your life. You start looking at you. See, we don't mind looking at God and praising God for who He is, but we don't want to look at us and see who we are as compared to who He is. Now He accepts you and He loves you. But God loves you just like you are, but He loves you too much to leave you like you are. So when He begins to say, okay, let's take a look at this, all of a sudden we're offended. It's because character issues. It's because we are shallow. And I gotta fly. Okay, we're gonna talk about character for a few minutes. Now the word character comes from a Latin word, which means to engrave. What God wants to do, He wants to engrave on our hearts His principles and precepts and Word. And when He engraves that in our heart and it gets rooted deep within our heart, it begins to affect who we are. You are the fruit. You are the fruit that the Word produces. You are the tree that the Word produces that brings forth the fruit. You're the ones. You're the ones that God wants to use. And what He wants to do is work Christ-like character in us. I like this quote. It says, a man's character is his fate. A man's character is his fate. You are where you are today because of your character. If you're not where you need to be today, likely it has to do with your character. if what you see on the inside of you, if what your vision is, and you're not getting there, and you're having trouble getting there, it could be a character issue. And we need a work of character in our lives. See, this is what the Word wants to produce. It produces the kingdom in us, but God desires to change our character into His character. How many of you know that our character is not that good? It's just really not that good. Our natural character is, we're basically sinful people. And even when you become a Christian, if you don't put the Word in you, that's going to be the natural way that you kind of go. You'll go to the flesh, you won't go to the Spirit, because it's just, you're not trained to do that. That's your old nature, and you just have a tendency to go that way. That's why we have to have the Word in our hearts. So, character is what God wants to produce in us. And I made this statement, your potential is released in your character, not in your knowledge alone. Some people think, if I can just learn more about God, the more I can learn, the more knowledge I have. Have you ever seen a Christian who can quote a lot of Scripture, knows a lot of Scripture, but they have no fruit in their life? They can tell you what the Word says, but they don't do it. There's nothing of the Word that's being productive in their life. They can tell you about all of the Scriptures, what God says about this, but it's not working in them. It's not what you know that releases your potential. It's the character that's in your heart. It's the character that drives your heart that produces the fruit in your life. Now, I've got some characteristics of character that we want to talk about today. The first one is, write these down and think about these. Courage. Courage. What is courage? It's character in crisis. See, it's easy to be Christian when everything is lovely. I mean, it's easy to just, when the church is going well, it's just lovely and easy. But when somebody calls you a heretic, or somebody tries to offend you, or things don't go right in life. And you know, that happens to all of us. Not everything goes right in life. We call it crisis. We face crisis quite often in our life. You know, we just think everything's going to be lovely since we become Christians, and we run into conflict. And how we act in that conflict shows our character. And we really need to be the same. But it takes a work of the Word in us. And that means we have to confront the issues in our life. And we're not willing to do that. So courage is character in crisis. The next one is loyalty. Oh, this is a big one. Loyalty. Loyalty is character in communion, or community. Loyalty is character in community. Is community important? Yes, it is. Is how we treat one another important? Is how we look at one another and judge one another important? Is it important that we be committed to one another? Is it important that we be committed to our spouse, to our families? Is it important that we be loyal? Do we have loyalty issues? If we have loyalty issues, guess what? They are character issues, and they will keep you from growing into the person that you need to be in Christ. Number three. Diligence. Oh, this is a big one. That's character in action. Character in action. Constant and earnest effort to accomplish what is undertaking. Do you start stuff and quit in the middle? That's lack of diligence. Life is not easy. If life was easy, everybody would be successful in it. Life is challenging. It's the people who can be consistent in the challenge, who sees things through, who are not wishy-washy and start and quit and start and quit. We need diligence, and it has to be a work of the Word in our heart. Will lack of diligence keep you from prospering? Will it keep you from becoming who you need to be? I look back over the life of this church. Oh my gosh. From where we came from to where we are, it has been a struggle. But we've had some diligent people in this church who didn't give up. They just kept on keeping on. And you know what? You give God something that He can bless. He can bless something that's like Him. Aren't you glad God's diligent? Aren't you glad Jesus was loyal? If Jesus hadn't been loyal when it come to getting on that cross, he said, you know what? God, I don't love them that much. I'm going back to heaven. They can go to hell. And that's where we'd have been if Jesus hadn't been loyal. If he hadn't have been diligent. If he hadn't have seen it the right way. The next one is modesty. Modesty. And that's character as simplicity. That means that we're free from vanity and boastfulness. Ego. Ego stuff. Modesty. That don't mean just the way that you dress. But it's lack of vanity. Have you ever seen somebody that they could not encourage someone else because they always had to outdo them? Well, I bought me a new car and I got me one of them. It's a nice car. Oh, that ain't nothing. Let me show you what I got. We call it the one-uppers. What is their problem? It's vanity. Will that affect them in their spiritual growth? Yes. We have to go back and deal with the vanity, ego issues in our lives. And it takes the Word of God showing us where we're there. And we have to repent and be willing to repent and change some things in our life. The Word will shine the light on it. But a lot of times we just make excuses for why we're that way. Well, I get mad because my wife's gone, redheaded. I got one of them redheaded tempers. No, that don't come from your hair color. That comes from your character. Oh, okay. The next one is frugality. Frugality, being frugal. That's character and prosperity. God wants you to prosper. God doesn't mind you prospering. But why do we prosper? Why does God blessing us? Let me ask you a question. Is God prosperous? I mean, God is uber prosperous. In fact, He owns it all. And what does God do with His stuff? He gives it. He doesn't hoard it. He doesn't waste it. But He doesn't hoard it. And when we talk about frugality, we can prosper. God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. If you want to drive a Mercedes, that's your business. If you want to drive a Volkswagen, that's your business. Don't criticize the guy who's driving the Mercedes if you're driving the Volkswagen. If you're driving the Mercedes, don't criticize the guy that's driving the Volkswagen. There's nothing wrong with Volkswagens, okay? I'm thinking the old Beetlebugs that years and years ago. But we don't need to be wasteful. That is a character issue. Know why God has blessed you. Know what you should be doing with what God has blessed you. And be frugal with what you have. Another one is honesty. And that has to do with character and truth. Are you fair with people? Are you the same with everybody? Do you show favoritism? Are you really honest? Do you report all your income on your taxes? I won't let that soak a minute. Well, what does that have to do with God? It's called character. It's called being honest. You deal forthright with everybody? Are you honest? Are you honest with people? If somebody gives you back too much change, do you give it back or you just call it a blessing of God? Oh, look how God's blessed me. It's called honesty. Well, I don't have any trouble with that. Well, yeah, but you may have trouble in another area. So these are character issues. And character matters. It really does matter. The next one is meekness. And that's character and power. Guys, this has to do with our egos. You know, men. You know, this is manhood. We're going to start a thing in the fall called Men's Fraternity that really shows us what real manhood is all about. And it's going to be one of those heart-searching type things that challenges us, because we have a real problem in America. Can I just keep it real? Keeping it real? and we just keep it real. We have a real problem in America. Satan is tearing up our families. And one of the big problems that we're having is men problems, because they don't really understand what manhood is all about. They think it's this ego-driven, tough guy deal, or can't show love, or can't do this. Meekness is a character issue. And let me tell you what, meekness is power. Jesus was a man. But you didn't see Jesus' ego coming out. But he released what he did through the meekness that was in his heart. And he was powerful. And there is strength in meekness. You don't have to be in your face to be powerful. The fruit of the Spirit really is powerful. And one of those fruits is meekness. The next one is reverence. Reverence. And that's how you deal with character and what is sacred. Now, let's think about God first. Do we reverence God? If we reverence God, we're going to listen to what He says. We're going to reverence the things of God. But there's other things that we need to reverence too. We need to reverence our relationships, especially one thing that God loves. He loves marriage. And we really need to have a reverence for marriage. We really do. We need to have a reverence for marriage. And that means that you have a reverence for your spouse. That you respect that relationship. That you honor that relationship. That you're true to that relationship. That you're faithful to that relationship. Because when you honor the covenant of marriage, listen, you're honoring God. When you honor marriage, you're worshiping God. One of the best ways that you can worship God is to love your spouse. Let's talk about family a minute. How important is family? How much do we need to honor the institution of the family? How much do we need to reverence that? That means, guys, that we lay down our lives. You know, that's one of the things that the Bible says that real manhood does, that he lays down his life for his spouse. When you lay down your life for your spouse, you lay it down for your family. There are things that you don't do that you could legitimately do because your family is important. That's so true. So we need to have reverence for the right things. We need to get priorities together in reverence. And these are character issues. Satan is destroying the home. He is destroying and wrecking marriages. We need men and women that reverence the things that God reverence. It's not just the house of God, okay? Really, if you don't honor the home and the institution of marriage and the sanctity of the family, you don't respect the house of God. Let me just put it straight. I know this is straightforward teaching. You say, is this slapping anybody? Probably. But listen, I got to tell you the truth. I love you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how many times you've been married or divorced. That's not the issue. Let's get it right. You can't help where you've been, but you sure can help where you're going. But you got to make some decisions to make some changes about your attitude about some of these things that God thinks are important. Okay, one more. I'm way over, but that's okay. You needed to hear this. Gratitude is the last one, and that's character and celebration. That's learning to be a person of appreciation. First of all, we need to be appreciative to God. You know, you really need to acknowledge what God has done in your life. It's really important that you do that. You know, when we do our offering, and I mean this, it is a worship to God. When you give your offering, it ought to be a worship. When you do something for God, it ought to be a worship. You need to be a person who acknowledges what God has done in your life. But listen, not only God, we need to be appreciative to the people God has put in our life, and we need to be able to express appreciation for the blessings of life and the things that are important. You need to appreciate your kids. You need to encourage your kids. You need to appreciate that because that's a gift of God. And we need to be people of appreciation. Amen. So character is important. It does matter. Lack of character will keep you from becoming what you need to be in God's kingdom. It's more than just learning the Word. It's more than just being doctrinally correct. It has to do with the work of the Word that produces character in your heart. You know, the Bible tells on, it says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That means you're going to have to do some hard looking, some hard examining. And we don't like doing that. Okay, let's pray. Need to pray over this. This is some serious stuff. It's not just a nice little story that Jesus put in the Bible. This is life. This is Shema. This is listen and obey. Father God, thank you today for your Word. Thank you that it's powerful. It's not me that's powerful, but it's your Word that's powerful. And Lord God, it's gone deep into the hearts of people here today. And Lord, I believe that it's going to make a difference as they open their hearts and their lives. As it challenges the hardness of some of their hearts, and even challenges the hardness of my heart, may our response be, yes, Lord. I want that to change. I'm tired of being shallow. I'm tired of just being surface. I want the character issues in my life to reflect you and not me. Thank you today for that, Father. Continue to work in our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this as we get ready to close the service. If you have issues that you would like to talk about, Jerry and Kevin will be in the foyer over here after the service. They can pray with you about some issues. If you need to make Jesus Lord, they can pray with you about that. If you need a Bible, we've got Bibles we can give you. If you're interested in learning more, we do what we call second step classes that after you make Jesus Lord, what it means to become a Christian, how do I learn, all of those kind of things. We do those kind of things. And just go up to Jerry. He's right there at that door, and Kevin's in the sound booth. They'll be over here after the service. Go by and say, listen, I need some help with my life. And they'll be glad to talk with you about that. Stand with me today, if you would. I miss my helper today. Our teenagers are gone to Fort Smith to the Genesis Conference, and I miss Jordan playing this morning. But they'll all be back this afternoon sometime. Put your hand on your heart and want to just say a blessing over you today. You know, as you go forth from this place today, may God bless you. May He keep you. May He cause His countenance to shine upon you. And may He give you peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You're dismissed.